We all know teenagers seem to spend an extraordinary amount of time online. It's almost a given these days.
Yeah, totally. It's just normal now.
But the crucial question for us, as the adults in their lives, is do we really grasp the whole emotional side of it, the real world impact of their digital lives?
Right, because it feels like it goes way beyond just like screen time metrics.
Exactly. It feels much deeper.
It absolutely is. I mean, their online world, that's where so much is happening, forming identities, their social connections, how they see the world. It's all being actively shaped right there.
So, okay, for this deep dive, our mission is really to give you a shortcut, a way to genuinely understand what it means for teens growing up in this, well, online-first reality. We're digging into this really insightful guide, and its whole approach is about empathy, trust, and like digital wisdom,
Yeah.
not just trying to control everything.
Yeah, it's not about banning stuff. It's really for any adult ally. You know, if you're a parent, a sibling, maybe a coach, a teacher, anyone who's there for them.
It's about meeting them where they are.
Exactly. Understanding their actual experience.
Okay, so let's unpack this journey for you. First, we're going to dive into the emotional world of teen social media. It's fascinating and sometimes pretty turbulent.
Definitely.
Then we'll get into the risks, the very real and constantly changing risks they face online.
Right, because it's not static.
Not at all. After that, we'll pivot to practical stuff for us adults, strategies for guiding, not just, laying down the law.
Guiding, not controlling. That's key.
And finally, we'll talk about how we can actually empower teens, help them become leaders in their own digital spaces.
Yeah, and I think it's important to say up front, this isn't about like fear-mongering or anything.
No, definitely
The
not.
whole point here is to give you real tools, ways to help teenagers be, you know, safe, strong, self-aware, build that digital resilience they really need.
Okay, good. So let's dive right into that first part. What our source calls the emotional world of teen social media. It makes this really strong point that teenagers aren't just using social media.
They're literally growing up on it. What does that actually mean for how they develop? How is this just fundamentally different?
Well, it's a huge difference. The guide really emphasizes that their identity, their social life, it's all being woven together online in real time.
Wow.
And there's this concept the source brings up, emotional currency. Fascinating. Think about it, like every comment, every reshare,
Yeah.
it's not just feedback.
It's more than that.
Yeah, it's like a quantifiable measure of their worth almost. It actively shapes how they see themselves, how they think others see them. It can create this really direct link between online engagement and like their actual personal value.
That sounds incredibly powerful, and maybe tough for us to fully get if
Yeah.
we didn't grow up with that constant digital tally going on.
Exactly. It's fundamental to their self-perception in a way that's just different.
And that must bring a whole load of intense emotional dynamics, right? Like we hear about FOMO all the time, that fear of missing out. That
Yeah.
seems to drive the need to be constantly connected. Oh, absolutely. FOMO is huge. And the guide also talks about the immense peer pressure. You know, pressure to look a certain way, act a certain way, even use certain slang online.
Does it feel more pervasive, do you think? Because it's so visible all the time compared to maybe pressures we faced?
I think so. The visibility just amplifies it massively. And then, like we were saying, there's that digital validation piece, where the number of likes or followers can genuinely feel like it equals your worth as a person.
Oof.
Yeah. And this isn't without real mental health impacts. The source points directly to things like cyberbullying, feeling excluded, these unrealistic expectations.
And even idolizing online figures in a way that maybe isn't healthy.
Right, yeah. Skewing their self-image because they're comparing themselves to something often unattainable or maybe even fake.
And this chase for perfectionism, with all the filters, the editing, the highlight reels, it just sounds exhausting.
It is exhausting. The guide mentions this idea of a dopamine debt cycle.
Yeah.
You get that quick high from a post doing well, but then comes the crash, the comparison.
Leading to anxiety, maybe feeling disconnected from who they really are.
Exactly. It just hammers home that social media is never neutral for teens. It's emotional, it's aspirational, it's shaping them.
So, given that this is where they're seeking connection and figuring out who they are, our approach has to start with empathy, right? Not control, if we actually want to help.
That's the core message, really. Empathy first.
Okay, but that pressure you mentioned, the pressure to always be on, it sounds incredibly draining. Is there a bit of a paradox there? They want connection, but the connection itself creates pressure.
There absolutely is.
Does the source talk about why that like invisible pressure can hit harder than maybe 100 positive comments?
It does. The guide explains that for some teens, yeah, one single negative comment can totally outweigh all the positive ones because they're so emotionally invested and it's all so public.
That makes sense.
And just the constant need to curate this perfect online self or even just keep up. Mm. It can lead to chronic anxiety, stress, low self-esteem. They feel like they're always performing.
Which really underlines our role then, doesn't it? To support them, be present, not just, you know, trying to watch their every move online.
Support, not surveil. Mm-hmm. That's the phrase the guide uses.
Okay. Which flows nicely into the next big topic, the actual risks. Because teens today, they face some really unique and evolving dangers online.
Mm-hmm.
Our guide sorts them into like old problems and new clothes, and then these distinctly modern challenges.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. The familiar risks, things like oversharing personal info,
yeah,
stuff that can get misused or suddenly go viral.
Right, or cyberbullying and harassment, which, as you said, can be really hidden from adults. They might not even know it's happening.
Exactly, and online grooming is still a major concern. Predators building fake trust, it's scary stuff.
And then there's the newer wave, right?
No.
Misinformation, propaganda, stuff designed to hit them emotionally, making it hard to spot.
Very hard. Plus, you've got online scams. And sextortion, that's a particularly nasty one.
Can you explain sextortion a bit more?
Yeah, it's basically when someone tricks or coerces a teen into sharing private, maybe intimate, photos or videos, and then threatens to leak them unless the teen pays money or does something else they demand. It plays on their fear and embarrassment.
That's horrifying. And then there's all the manipulated media stuff.
Oh, yeah. That's a whole new frontier. We're talking deep fakes, those super realistic fake videos or images made with AI.
Where it looks like someone said or did something they never did.
Exactly. Or face swaps, AI-generated posts, things that just completely twist reality. And alongside all that, there's the basic addiction to the platform itself, the metrics, the scrolling, the refreshing, those dopamine loops keeping them hooked.
Wow. It's a minefield. And teens aren't immune to basic scams either, are they? The guide mentions fake Instagram accounts, scam messages, pretending to be influencers.
Giveaway hoaxes, yeah. Even savvy teens can get caught out. Mm. And what's really interesting, the guide points out that the social aspect makes it even harder for them to admit they got tricked.
Because it's embarrassing in front of their peers online.
Exactly. The potential shame is huge. It's a tough situation, feeling that pressure.
But okay, these threats, they're serious. But the guide frames them as teachable moments too. Right? Mm. Opportunities to build resilience, media literacy, critical thinking.
Absolutely. It's about helping them learn to spot those emotional triggers, those online red flags, before they get tangled up in something bad.
Which brings us to the practical strategies. Guiding, not controlling. So media literacy, how do we even start teaching them to spot what's unreal now, when it's not just a bad Photoshop job anymore?
Yeah, telling them, don't believe everything you see online just doesn't cut it anymore, does it?
Not with deep fakes and AI influencers and algorithms feeding them specific stuff.
Right. So the guide basically calls media literacy a survival skill now. It's not optional.
So what does that look like practically?
It means helping them actually use tools, like showing them how to do a reverse image search, introducing them to fact-checking websites, getting them into the habit of asking questions about the source. Who made this? And maybe more importantly, why? What's their goal here?
And learning the tells, maybe? Signs of AI content or filters?
Yeah, becoming aware of those things. And comparing news stories. How does this look on TikTok versus a news website? Understanding that algorithms shape what they see, sometimes limiting their view.
It's not just about protecting them from bad stuff. It's empowering them to be smarter navigators online.
Totally. And the guide has this great suggestion. Make it a co-learning journey.
What does that mean?
Instead of lecturing, maybe watch a viral video with them. And ask genuinely curious questions like, huh, do you think this could be edited? Why do you reckon it's so popular?
Ah, so less top-down instruction.
Exactly. And let them teach us sometimes about their apps, their trends. The guide really emphasizes that when they feel heard and included, not lectured, they're way more likely to actually listen.
That makes so much sense. And it ties right into the next point, conversation over control. The guide says teens resist being monitored, but they really want to be heard. Why is that two-way street so much more effective for building trust?
Well, trust grows when it feels like a real conversation, right? Consistent, open, not like you're grilling them or waiting to catch them out.
So instead of demanding to see their phone,
Yeah, maybe try opening the door with something low stakes. Like, hey, see anything funny or interesting online today? Or maybe something a bit deeper, like, have you ever seen someone getting treated unfairly online? How did that feel?
Or even asking their opinion on stuff they see. Like, what's your take on cancel culture? Or influencers who get caught faking things.
Exactly. Open-ended questions. Questions that invite them to share their thoughts, not just give a yes-no answer or feel defensive.
And the advice is, listen first. Don't jump in with judgment. Thank them for sharing, even if it's something that makes you uncomfortable or maybe they admit they messed up.
Crucial. Creating that safe space where they know they can talk about anything without getting punished or shamed immediately, that's how you keep the door open.
And if rules are needed, like screen time limits or something.
Then the advice is, explain the why behind it, clearly, and involve them in the decision if possible. When they understand the reasoning, they're much more likely to actually respect the boundary. It's not just arbitrary.
Right. Which leads nicely to the idea of boundaries that actually build habits. Teens obviously crave independence, but they still need structure. And the guide makes this great point that good boundaries aren't just restrictions, they're like stepping stones towards self-regulation.
Yeah, which is a skill they need for life.
Right.
Not just for their phone.
Totally. So we're talking about setting up empowering digital habits. Things like screen-free zones in the house, or maybe family detox days.
Yeah, but the key there, as the guide points out, is we have to model it too. If we're glued to our phones during dinner telling them not to be, well, it doesn't really work.
Good point. Actions speak louder.
Another practical idea is doing weekly tech check-ins. Sit down together, look at privacy settings, save passwords, maybe app usage, just making it a normal part of digital hygiene.
Like brushing your teeth, but for online safety.
Kind of, yeah. Or having a safe word, or even just an emoji they can text you if they feel unsafe or pressured online and need an easy way out of a situation.
Oh, that's clever. A quick signal.
Mm-hmm. And those pause before posting prompts are good too. Getting them to ask themselves, like, would I be okay if my teacher saw this? Or my grandma. Just that little moment of reflection.
It really shifts the goal, doesn't it? From just less screen time to more meaningful screen time. Intentional use.
Exactly. So boundaries aren't just walls. The guide frames them more like launch pads, helping them build self-discipline and the ability to reflect on their own choices online, which they'll need long after we stop setting the rules.
Okay, this brings us to a really powerful shift, I think. Empowering teens to actually lead. It's not just about keeping them safe anymore. It's about helping them stand up for others, be positive forces online.
Yeah, the guide suggests this is where the real, like, transformation can happen. Moving them from just being users to being active participants in making the digital world better.
So how do we foster that? What does that look like?
Well, we can encourage them to be role models. You know, consciously think about how they post, how they interact, maybe showing younger siblings or friends how to be responsible online.
Okay.
Teaching them how to support friends who might be struggling, whether that's offering a kind word, knowing how to report abuse effectively, or just speaking up against negativity.
It could even be simple things, right? Like the guide suggests asking them to be family educators.
Yeah. Like, hey, can you explain this TikTok trend to grandma? Or tell us about this online slang. It positions them as the expert, which builds confidence.
Or encouraging them to maybe start or join a school club or peer group that focuses on digital kindness or online safety awareness.
Exactly. Because empowerment isn't just about safety blankets. It's about giving them agency, building their confidence. When teens feel capable online, they don't just protect themselves better.
They help others too.
Yeah, they contribute to creating safer, more positive spaces for everyone. And what's really cool is the guide notes that when teens see themselves as digital role models, it builds their own self-efficacy, their belief in their ability to handle things. And that can ripple out, influencing siblings, friends, even us adults sometimes.
That's a great perspective. All right, so just to sort of recap our deep dive here, the big message seems to be that cybersecurity for teens, it's not really about banning phones or deleting apps.
Nope. Not the effective approach anyway.
It's about giving them the tools. Tools to see clearly online, to think critically about what they're encountering, and importantly, to act with courage.
And remembering, like the guide emphasizes, that mistakes will happen. They're inevitable. But seeing those as learning opportunities, not failures, is key.
Right. Which brings us to defining digital resilience. What does that actually mean in this context?
Well, it means a few things. It means knowing when you need to log off and why, making that conscious choice. It's about bouncing back when things go wrong online, having support, and learning from it. It means having the guts to stand up for what's right, for kindness, even when it's uncomfortable online.
And knowing when to ask for help, and also offering help to others who might need it.
Exactly. It's that whole package.
There's a really powerful quote from our source that sums us up, I think. Digital resilience means helping teens stay grounded, not just guarded.
I love that. Grounded, not just guarded. Because in this world that's changing so fast, faster than any of us can really predict, that kind of inner strength, that groundedness, that's what will really serve them long term, way beyond whatever the current app is.
Yeah. It's about raising a generation that's not just constantly connected, but also, hopefully, conscious, kind, and really capable of navigating this complex digital world they've inherited.
That's the goal, isn't it?
Absolutely. So as you're thinking about all this, here's something to maybe chew on. How can we as the adults actually model the resilience, the critical thinking, the empathy we want to see in them, especially given our own online habits and maybe biases?
Ooh, that's turning the mirror back on us.
It is. And maybe think about this. What's one small intentional step you could take, maybe even today, to engage more openly, more empathetically with a young person about their online life?